13th verse, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Thank you for all you do for this church. This is your church. I said, this is your church. And you feel best about church when you invest in it.
Yes, that's right.
When you work in it. Amen. When you do something in it and you have a position and a place and you feel at home. And I hope that you do. We want you to. Amen. And so thank you for all you do. Thank you for your sacrificial giving. The General Conference this year is a very important conference. We will be discussing some very, very vital things. General Conference is when we... somebody said this, let's put it this way. Somebody said that the only time the liberties of the United States are at risk is when the conference is in session. When Congress is in session,
yes,
our liberties are at stake.
That's right.
When they go home, we can rest because they can't do anything when they're on vacation.
That's right.
But when they're in session, anything can happen. And the same applies, and I say that respectfully, but we do make important decisions at conferences that affect United Pentecostal Church. Only whenever we get together at a conference can anything change. We have to vote on it. And there are some things, there's some good things. There's some things I agree with, some things I'm concerned about. Amen. And so we ask your prayer that they'll vote like I want them to, so it'll be all right.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to vote wrong.
That's right.
It is important, and I appreciate you helping us get there. It's important for the church. It's important for our future. I would like to say that I do love the United Pentecostal Church. I don't believe it's the only way you can get to heaven. There'll be people going to heaven from all kinds of different churches.
That's right.
But I love the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. I broke my last baby bottle in the United Pentecostal Church when I was 18 months. Amen. Just to get that straight. Amen. That's what I've known my whole life. And I do appreciate it. I appreciate what it stands for. Amen. I'm not discouraged about it. I don't think we're going down the tubes. I think we're going up in the rapture. Amen. Praise God. I think it's a strong body. A lot of good brethren. Yes. We have a left and we have a right. Everybody does.
Yes, that's right.
Some people who listen to them, you know, they're afraid we're going to go down tomorrow. Amen. Hey, it's not going to happen that way. There's good, strong brethren in this church. Amen. There's good, strong brethren in this organization.
That's right.
Amen. And we want to be one of them, right? Amen. Praise God. We're going to be one of them. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Just a very simple verse. Rather short. It says, the fire shall ever be burning. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. I want to preach tonight about the perpetual fire. Amen. The perpetual fire. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. My, what a stellar beginning. What an awesome beginning. You talk about being raised with a silver spoon in your mouth. He ate at the king's table. He was educated and tutored by the finest minds that Egypt had to offer. He was clothed in the finest of the fine. He slept in the softest and the nicest of beds. He grew up in the greatest of environments. His future was bright. Everything was full of promise. But there was something buried deep in the heart of Moses. I'm not altogether sure how it got there, but I think I know. I think while his little mama, who they thought was his nurse, was changing his diapers, she was saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Amen. Remember, son, there's just one God. They're going to be teaching you in school that this thing was hatched out of an egg, but it really wasn't. Don't believe that. They're going to teach you when you get to school that some worms crawled up out of the slime of the Nile River and wiggled up onto the bank, and later they became human beings. But don't you believe that? Amen. Don't you believe that? And I don't believe Moses did, because he penned the first five books of the Bible, and the very first verse says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." He didn't mention anything about an egg, much less the chicken, praise God. And he didn't mention anything about worms that crawled up out of the Nile River. Amen. He talked about the great God, and he got that somewhere from a mama that taught him, said, "Don't you fall for this, son." Amen. You're a child. You're a son of Abraham. Don't you ever forget it. And the Hebrews be your brethren. Amen. And one day he just couldn't stand it any longer. He saw a taskmaster beaten on one of his brethren, and something rose up inside of him, and he smote the taskmaster, and he killed him, and he pulled him out and tried to bury him somewhere in the hot Egyptian desert sand. But things like that can't be hidden. The news got out. Amen. And it wasn't long before Moses became a fugitive. He was running for his life. The same Pharaoh that sheltered him now sought him to take his life. So he ran as far as he could run. He wound up out in the middle of the desert in a place called Midian. He married a woman there, and he thought it was all over. And he was trying to put it behind him. He was trying to just forget it all. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't forget this. You can run, but you can't hide. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. Hey, there's a privilege to being raised in a Pentecostal church. There's a privilege to hearing the gospel time after time, whether it's in a Sunday school class or sitting on a pew. Let me tell you, Sunday school teachers, something tonight. I know it's difficult at times. It's real hard, the job you do, while we're sitting over here enjoying the presence of the Lord and the good word of God. I know you're working and you're keeping up with kids and you're wiping noses and everything you're doing, and you're thinking, is it really worth it? I want to tell you tonight, it is worth it. It is worth it. You're loving a child and they're feeling something. When you pray, they feel something. When you teach, they feel something. The Word of God is being written and inscribed indelibly in their hearts, and there are things they will never forget. Amen. Praise God. I still think of things I learned in Sunday school. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for Sunday school. Everybody say, thank God for Sunday school. Say, thank God for Sunday school teachers. Amen. Have you hugged a Sunday school teacher today? Amen. You ought to. They're important in this house, and we appreciate them, and we want them to know that we do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And Moses, hey, you talk about starting over at an advanced age. He's 80 years old. Somebody said, I'm all used up. Oh, no. You're not used up yet. Moses was just getting started. When he was 80 years old, God had him right where he wanted him. Amen. In the middle of nowhere, discouraged, downtrodden, beaten down, thinking, it's all over. I've made a mess out of my life. My, what I could have done. My, what I could have been. If I could just go back and do it all over again. Amen. I think there was two sides to this story. Amen. Moses was ready to deliver Israel, but Israel was not ready to be delivered. Amen. Like the little boy, I love that story. Little Cub Scout came home and his clothes were messed up and he had scratches and bruises. And his mom said, "What happened, honey?" He said, "I did my good deed for today." She said, "What in the world did you do, son?" He said, "I helped a little old lady across the street." He said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "She didn't want to go." Amen. You don't help somebody across the street that don't want to go. You don't deliver people that don't want to be delivered. You can't help people that don't want to be helped. Amen. And so Moses just kind of jumped the gun a little bit. Now 40 years later, Israel's crying out for deliverance. Oh God, we can't take this anymore. We've had all we can stand. Get us out of this somehow. Get us out of this some way. Amen. They're crying out for a deliverer. Amen. God heard that prayer. And he started a fire. Out in the middle of the desert, you think, boy, I'm in a place even God don't know where I am. Yeah, he does. He's got your address. You talk about isolated. The Bible said he was watching his father-in-law's sheep. He didn't have any sheep. He's 80 years old. You talk about starting over. I mean, he's got it bad, folks. Out in the middle of a desert, and he saw this burning bush. So what? But you know what got his attention? It didn't stop burning. You know what? Your testimony. People see you, and they know you're a Christian. But they've seen Christians before. And they've seen Christians flash up and burn out. And in a few days, they're just like everybody else. But you know what? They need to see somebody that won't stop burning. They need to see somebody that burns the same way on Monday as they do on Sunday. And the same day on Wednesday as they did on Monday. And on Friday, they're still burning. And on Saturday, they're still burning. And on Sunday, they're still burning. And that flame just won't go out. When times are good, they're burning. When times are bad, they're burning. No matter where they are, the flame is burning. The world needs to see more Christians that are a perpetual fire that just won't go out. That's what got his attention. It wasn't just a burning bush. It was a bush that wouldn't quit burning. It just kept on burning. And nothing could stop it. Nothing could put it out. And so he said, "Whoa, I got to see what's going on here." Amen. Somebody said, "You want to win your city?" And they said, "Let the church get on fire." Amen. And the world would come to watch it burn. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, if we'll really get on fire around here, I got a feeling there's some people that are looking for a perpetual fire. Amen. Oh, Moses said, "I need some of that in my life. I'm all used up. I'm all washed out. My dreams are down the drain. Things are not good. The future has no shine. Don't have any reason to live. Don't really have anything to get up for. Nothing to motivate me. Nothing to drive me." Amen. But I'm telling you what, when he saw that fire and he was drawn aside, and just about the time he got close to the fire, he heard a voice. Woo! Amen. You get close to the fire, you'll hear something. Amen. The voice of the Lord will talk to you. And God spoke to him and said, "Moses," he said, "take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground." Last time God tried to talk to him, he ran. He said, "Get your running gear off, boy. Stay put this time so I can talk to you." Amen. Praise God. So he gets his shoes off. He's standing. And the bush starts talking. And the flame starts talking. And the fire starts talking. Amen. And God's speaking to him through the burning bush. And he gets his calling. And he gets energized. Amen. He goes from that point for 40 more years of life. Amen. You talk about strength. You talk about power. At age 80, he was commissioned to do one of the biggest jobs ever been done in the world. He led 3 million plus people across a desert. Amen. Into a promised land. You talk about leadership. Amen. Praise God. He led them in deliverance out of Egypt. Praise God. My, hey, it's not over for you if you don't let the fire go out. I heard about a dear brother. He was 90 years old. And he got in a service and he got heated up. And the fire got to burning. And he stood up. And he stood up to his feet and he said, "Brethren," he said, "I just resigned my church and I turned in my license and I stopped my ministry because I thought I was too old." He said, "But I want to tell you today, I'm re-enlisting." That's what we need. Some more of that re-enlisting. Hallelujah. Somebody get some fire. Start up on the inside. And don't let it go out for anything. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Old prophet preached. And he preached, and he didn't have any converts, and he kept preaching, and people laughed at him, and people made fun of him, and they persecuted him, and they threw him in jail, and they persecuted him some more, and he got so fed up with it, he said, "God, I'm sick of preaching. I'm not going to preach anymore. I've preached all I'm going to preach. I've preached my last sermon." Amen. But God said, "You're not through yet, Jeremiah." He said, "I've got something for you." And God just reached down there and touched that start button. And the flame come up again. And he said it like this. "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I. And thou hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. And a derision daily. And then I said, I will not make mention of him. Nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart. As a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearance. Bearing, and I could not stay." I tried to shut up. I tried to be quiet. I tried not to tell anything else. I tried to quit preaching. He said, "But I just couldn't hold it." Hallelujah. Glory. Love the story of the old timer. He snuck off to a Pentecostal meeting. His wife told him not to go, and he did anyway. It was one of those old time meetings under a brush arbor, and he was out in the dark. But as he stood out in the dark and they got started, he started creeping up a little bit closer. And he got a little bit closer. And he got a little bit closer. And he stepped into the light. And the next thing he knew, at the end of the service, is down at the altar. And he repented of his sins. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he was talking in tongues. Amen. And on the way home, he was saying to himself, "What in the world am I going to say to Bertha? What am I going to say to Bertha? What am I going to say to Bertha?" Amen. Finally got home. He took off his shoes so it'd be real quiet. And he said, "Lord, don't let me shout anymore." He said, "I shouted all the way home. I talked in tongues all the way home." He said, "But now I got to be quiet. I don't want to wake up Bertha." Amen. So as soon as he got his hand on the doorknob, ready to go inside, the door swung open. And she looked at him. And it happened. It just burst inside. He started talking in tongues and a dancing on the doorstep, and she said, "You went to that Pentecostal meeting, didn't you?" Hallelujah. Hey, he had a fire and it wouldn't go out. He preached until his 90s, and he was still preaching. Whenever he got so sick, he went on to be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fire never went out in his life. I'm talking tonight about a perpetual fire. We need that perpetual fire. Amen. People need to see a perpetual fire. All of us have seen it. They're a flash in the pan. You've seen it. I've seen it. Amen. People come. They get on fire. Amen. But it doesn't last too long. And the fire goes out. Amen. You know why the world doesn't have much respect for Christianity? Because of people that are flash in the pan. They said, I've seen this before. I've seen this before. I've seen this before. But you know what they haven't seen? They haven't seen a perpetual fire. They haven't seen one that the world can't put out. They haven't seen one that the devil can't quench. They haven't seen one that'll keep standing and keep going regardless of what happened, regardless of what's going on. That's the kind of fire that the world's looking for. And that's the kind of fire that the world needs to see. Amen. Amen. Fire played an important part all through the scripture. Amen. The Bible says that when Israel went out of Egypt, God led them at night with a fire. Hallelujah. It gets cold in the desert at nighttime. They didn't have any heaters, but they had a fire. Hallelujah. There was a fire that warmed them. There was a fire that lit the way. It was always there. Every time they looked up, there was the fire over them. Hallelujah. Praise God. These were people born in fire. Moses was called by a fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever they got to Sinai, God said, I want to talk to you. And the Bible said that fire came down and the mountain flamed, hallelujah, and smoke was arising and the mountain was shaken and trembling with the almighty presence of God. I want you to know something tonight, friend. You still serve an awesome God. The Bible said our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Now let me tell you, that's good news right now. On this side of the judgment, that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Because the fire can burn up something that's in your life. It can purify even what somebody said. What fire cannot consume, it will purify. What the fire cannot consume, it will purify. Amen. When fire touches a soul, it cannot destroy an eternal soul, but it will purify the soul. Amen. But you wait till the other side of the judgment and the fire is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be an eternal consuming fire. But it'll not be washed dry, purifying sin. It'll be a fire of punishment. Amen. Praise God. Fire is important, the Word of God. You remember the Bible we preached a couple of weeks ago about Carmel. Hallelujah. How when the prophet soaked the sacrifice with 12 barrels of water, he soaked the altar, he soaked the ground all around the altar, he got everything good and soaked real well, and then the Bible said he prayed a little prayer. Fire came down from heaven, not only consumed the sacrifice, but it licked up everything. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about a fire tonight. Hey, we need a perpetual fire. Hallelujah. Something that doesn't just flame up and go out, but something that stays the same. When Israel built the tabernacle, God sent down a fire. On that old altar, he sent a fire. And he said, now I want you to go out to that old altar that's made out of brass. That's a sign of judgment. He said, I want you to get some fire and I want you to carry it into the holy place. And he said, inside there's that candlestick. And you take fire off of the altar and you light the candlestick. And you take some fire off of the altar and you go to the altar of incense and you burn the incense. But everything comes off of the altar of sacrifice. That's where it's got to start. Amen. Hear me today. You're not going to really be able to understand God or the Word of God until you find an altar of sacrifice, until you find an altar of repentance. And when you're repented, then the light comes on, and then you can see. Then you can understand. The Bible said the things of God are not carnally discerned. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. They make no sense to them. Amen. But whenever you get some fire in your life and the Lord illuminates His will and His word, then it makes lots of sense to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why people don't understand the Word of God, the value of the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, is because they don't have any fire in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. But when you get some fire, something happens. Hallelujah. Jesus said concerning the Word, He said, "My Word is spirit and it is life." Hallelujah. And you don't discern it without the Spirit. You don't understand it without the Spirit. Amen. But when we get the Holy Ghost, then we begin to understand. Hallelujah. Friend, you need some fire in your life. You need a perpetual fire in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. He said, it shall ever be burning on the altar. Amen. Never, ever, ever let it go out. Amen. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible said what? Quench not the Spirit. Quench means to put out. Don't put out the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't stop the Holy Ghost. Amen. It needs to move in your life. It needs to speak in your life. It needs to be in your life. That's how we know God, is through His Word. Amen. This is so vital that we have a fire in our life. Hallelujah. It served two functions in the Scripture. First of all, it was about warmth. We like warm services. No, we like hot services. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I was born in the fire and I just can't stand the smoke. Some people want to live in the smoke. Amen. That's something that's dying. That's something that's going out. Hallelujah. I don't want to live in the smoke. I want to live in the flame. I want to live in the fire. Amen. I want to be where it's hot. I want to be where it's happening. I want to be where it's purifying. Amen. We got to stay in the fire, folks. Amen. We got to stay in the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We call them fiery services. We call it fiery preaching. Amen. We like the fire around here, don't we? Anybody like the fire? Hallelujah. There are churches that don't like the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Somebody said they got an ice cube in the pulpit and polar bears in the pews. Maybe, I don't know. Amen. But we don't want to be around, we don't want to be like that. Hallelujah. And we want to be where there's a fire burning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We need some fire. Amen. You know, when the fire is not there, things begin to happen. Things that shouldn't happen, happen. Amen. How do you know when the fire is going out, Brother Grissom? Well, when people are worshiping and you're clipping your fingernails. And you're texting on your telephone to your neighbor. Woo! How'd that get in there? Amen, huh? Yeah, so you find anything else more interesting than the presence of God, and if I may say it, the Word of God. I've seen people that are hoop and holler during the worship, and then they'll turn it off when they'll get to preach it. After you've sang your little song and done your little part, as far as you're concerned, church is over. You put in your parts, you've done your show, you've shined a little bit, and now then that's all you do. Amen. Let me tell you something, you're cold. You're just cold. Amen. I'll tell you another sign, whenever you start getting cold, you're afraid of the altar. Amen. Praise God. People come down to the altar to pray and you head out the door. People down here praying and trying to pray through, trying to get rid of their sin, trying to find God, trying to get the Holy Ghost, trying to pray through. Amen. And we got more in the pew than we do in the altar. That's a sign that something's wrong and it's getting a little cold in here. Amen. Another sign that you're getting cold is when the world starts getting attractive to you. And you start talking like the world. And you start dressing like the world. And you start acting like the world. Another way you can tell when you're getting cold is when the television screen's more appealing to you than a prayer meeting. Well, thank you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You'd rather watch the Cowboys than come to church and feel Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You'd rather read the sports page than your Bible. Now, I don't care if you read the sports page. Just make sure you read your Bible. Amen. And if you can quote statistics, you ought to quote some scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not against people having some recreation in their life. That's okay. But you keep it in the right place. You keep it in the right place. Don't let your fire go out. Amen. Hey, we got a perpetual fire tonight. Amen. Let me tell you another way you can tell when folks start getting cold is when they start getting offended real easy. Whenever you say something to them, they get offended. If you don't say anything to them, they get offended. How do you win in a situation like that? Amen. That means you're getting cold. Amen. Praise God. You start getting a little cold whenever the pastor's supposed to have, what do you call that? ESP. Yeah. ESP. He's supposed to know. Amen. When you're sick. And you get mad if he doesn't call you. Amen. That's what I thought. Seemed to me like I read, any sick among you, let the pastor call them. No. Any sick among you, let them call. Let them call. Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry, folks. Amen. I love you. Amen. But if I spend all my time just going to visit and talk to you, I can't get anything else done. This is about as big as we'll ever get. If I go to sit on somebody's doorstep every day or hurt their feelings. Is that all right? If it's not all right, it's truth anyhow. We've got a city to reach. Amen. Praise God. Well, nobody ever comes to see me. Well, go see somebody. Nobody ever visits me. Go visit somebody. Amen. Praise God. And when you get there, talk about the good things of the Lord. Amen. Don't talk about how bad things are going. Amen. Don't talk about how things are going down and the church is not the same. I hope to the good Lord it's not the same. Amen. It's supposed to be changing, folks. Every day it's supposed to be changing. There's supposed to be new people on the pew. There's supposed to be new people on the platform. There's supposed to be new people working everywhere because the church is growing and progressing. And when that happens, it changes. The message doesn't change. No. The doctrine doesn't change. No. The Holy Ghost doesn't change. No. But everything else changes. Amen. It's okay to have different leaders in the pulpit. It's all right to have different singers sing the songs. Amen. Is that okay? It's all right to have young people service on Wednesday night. And kids can on Wednesday night. Yes, we don't have as many people in here on the pew. No, there's not any people to hear the pastor preach. But they're hearing the gospel on a level that reaches them better than what the preacher can do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's right. Amen. You know, these children, I love these children. They love me. I get hugs all the time. Thank God I love that. But you know what? I can't feed you and them at the same time. Amen. But you get them out in kids' can, they can feed them on their level. They can sing about the frog in the bottom of the sea. And then they can have a great time. I sing that. I hear you think I'm nuts. One time it's cute. Next time you call the paddy wagon. And off I go. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I'm talking about a fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, you can tell somebody's getting cold when they read the gossip about somebody, then pray for somebody. They'd rather talk about how bad things are than to talk about how good things are. Hallelujah. Amen. They'd rather talk about backsliding and backsliders than talk about revival. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm talking tonight about a perpetual fire. Amen. We need to get on fire and we need to stay on fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Fire keeps you warm. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I like those three Hebrew men. That's my kind of fellowship. They said, we're going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow down and worship. That's all right. We won't burn. We're used to the fire. And we got a fire on the inside that'll keep us on the fire on the outside. Amen. So when they threw them in the fire, the Bible said they were not burned up. Amen. Not even the smell of smoke was on their clothes. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, there was a fourth man joined them in the fire. He said, it looks like the Son of God's in there. Hallelujah. Amen. And they wasn't in any hurry to come out. The Bible said they had to call them out of there. They had to get them to come out. They were having a good time in the fire. Hallelujah. Amen. You get Holy Ghost going, friend, and you don't want to go. I was thinking about that the other day. Amen. I remember, and this is not what we did all the time. I don't mean to insinuate that. But I remember services that would go. We'd start about 7 o'clock and services go till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't all the time, but it happened rather frequently. I remember one night, boy, did we have church. Woo! We had church. We went outside and a friend of mine that had backslid got cold. Lost his fire. Amen. He was outside. Finally, we left churches about 10 o'clock. We've been having a good time. We walked outside, and his old van was sitting there. And I didn't know what was going on in his life. I went over, and he rolled down the window a minute, and boy, he looked disturbed. Stench of alcohol was all over him, on his breath, nearly knocked you down. I'm glad we didn't have any fire right then. It might have just started a fire. There's enough alcohol there to do it. Amen. I started telling him, oh, we're so glad to see you. Mom, I'm glad you came by. Glad you came back. He wasn't happy at all. He reared back his fist and he knocked out his own windshield. Now, what good is that going to do? Well, that's a spirit of destruction. The devil's a spirit of destruction. Amen. And hey, boy, he was trying to crank that old van to get it going so he could get out of there before other church people came. You know what? It wouldn't start. He's just grinding away on it, and it wouldn't start. Amen. We didn't know what to do, so I just started calling on the name of the Lord. Tears running down my cheeks. God help. And I called his name. God help him. God help him. He shoved me out of the way. He opened his door. He ran inside that church as fast as he could go. He ran down to that altar. He fell across.
cross, and he started weeping his way back to God. And in just a little while, God had refilled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He went outside, got in his van, started up the first hit. Amen. And he put it off happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we need some fire that'll do that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we got some fire going on around here. But let's keep it up. Don't let it die. Amen. We got to keep it going, folks. If you're going to keep a fire going, it needs two things. A fire has to have air. Amen. Pray it's got to have some air. Hallelujah. I read somewhere about a rushing, mighty wind. Hallelujah. We need that rushing, mighty wind. Whoever service we have, Brother Hart, we need that wind to blow in here. Woo, hallelujah. Brother Urshan told the story about a little lady at a funeral. She was so bereaved, they couldn't reach her. She was locked into her own world. Everything was just shut out, and she shut down. They couldn't talk to her. She couldn't respond. She was just shut into her world of gloom. To make matters worse, when they got to the funeral home, it was summertime and the air conditioner wouldn't work. Amen. And so they started the service, the bereaved widow sitting there, and all of a sudden in the middle of service, the wind began to blow. And he said, oh, I'm so glad they got that air fixed. Amen. And all of a sudden that little lady, that bereavement melted away. And peace came upon her face. And she was able to speak. She was able to talk. She was able to deal with the situation, difficult as it was. After the service, the pastor said to the funeral home director, he said, I'm so glad that you got the air fixed. He said, what do you mean? He said, the air's not fixed. Hallelujah. You know what happened? That Holy Ghost just moved in that place. And I'm talking about a wind. It'll feed your fire, folks. It'll feed the flame. We've got to have the Holy Ghost. We've got to have the Spirit of God. Amen. Did you know that in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word for spirit and the word for wind or air are the same word? Amen. Praise God. It's the Ra and it's the Pneuma. Amen. So you don't know when you read the word pneuma, you got to see the context whether it's talking about wind or it's talking about spirit. Hallelujah. You know why? Because they're one and the same. The Bible said, and God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Hallelujah. That's where our spirit came from. It came from God. And when he breathes on you, amen, it'll make the fire burn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the next thing a fire's got to have some fuel. If it don't have any fuel, it'll go out. I read a story years ago about some people. There was an agricultural team from a university. And with their teacher, they had gone out into the wheat fields of Kansas. And while they were out there, all of a sudden, this flame burst and that field was caught on fire, and that fire was driven by the wind and it was rushing in their direction, and it was between them and their vehicles. They couldn't get to where they needed to go to get out of there, and they began to despair, thinking, what in the world are we going to do now? Amen. And so the professor thought just a minute. And he said, I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. He said, we're going to have to set a fire here. And they said, why would we set a fire here? He said, because fire cannot burn where fire has been. Hallelujah. So if we start a fire against that fire, and when they meet in the middle, it has no more fuel and it will die. Amen. That's what we've got to do, folks. You get a fire of opposition coming against you. You get a fire going on the inside. Hallelujah. Because that fire cannot burn where fire has already been. You're not going to get consumed
because you've already consumed everything. I read in the scripture, it said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the fuel. Fuel. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. That you might know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. Every day, Brother Raymond, we gotta let that fire, we gotta give it some fuel. I have to lay Johnny Grissom down on an altar somewhere and say, consume me, Holy Ghost. Consume me, Holy Ghost. Consume me, Holy Ghost. Amen. You gotta burn out the dross that gets in my mind. I get some thoughts sometimes that are bad. You gotta get into my heart. Because I can get things in my heart. I can get bitterness in my heart. I can get a spirit of unforgiveness in my heart. I can get all kinds of feelings in my heart. God, I need you to cleanse my heart today. Amen. I need you to make me pure. I need you to make me clean. Consume all of this. So that I can be pure. Amen. We got to give that fire some fuel so that it can burn. Hallelujah. We need a perpetual fire. We need a fire that burns all of the time. John the Baptist, whenever he realized his mission was short. Amen. He got to preaching one day. Amen. And he said, there's one that's coming after me, whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about a fire tonight. Amen. A fire tonight that'll get a hold of somebody and it'll make a difference. Hallelujah. Erasmus Lindemore lived in Tennessee Valley, born in the late 1800s. 1930, Tennessee Valley Authority was going to build the Norris Dam in that valley. They needed him to move out of his old cabin. They went to Mr. Erasmus Lindemore and they said, we need you to move out of here. We'll help you move. We'll help you relocate. We'll pay you so that you can get a new property somewhere else. And he told them the story. He said, it's not that I mind leaving. He said, but I've got something here that's been going on for a long time. He said, my daddy moved here just a little before the Civil War. He moved here in 1859. He moved from Wythe County, Virginia, here to Tennessee. And he said, and when he left there, he brought a fire with him. And he said, that's the family fire. And he said that fire was burning in Virginia, and it burned all the way to Tennessee. And he said, and it's been burning here ever since. He said, I was born in this cabin by the light of that fire. He said, hey, I got to keep that fire burning. It burned all the way through the Civil War, to the Reconstruction. It burned through the Hoover years. It burned through all of the things that went on in history for all of those years. He said, this fire's got to keep burning. The news got out about the perpetual fire. And people started trying to make, nobody wanted the fire to go out. They started trying to figure out how to move the fire. It wasn't that Mr. Livermore was afraid to move. He said, but I don't want the fire to go out. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, it's a family fire. My daddy started this fire. Amen. We still got it going. Amen. Praise God. Hey, and that's the kind of fire we want to build. I want a fire that my children get a hold of, and they'll see my daddy had this fire. Woo! Hallelujah. We got to keep this fire going. We need the kind of fire we can pass on to future generations, that your children can get it, and your grandchildren can get it, and their kids can get it. Amen. That's the kind of fire we need to start here today. Amen. Praise God. Get that fire going. Hallelujah. I was born in this room in the light of this fire. The ashes seldom, if ever, have grown cold in my lifetime. Amen. That's what we got to guard, that kind of a fire. Amen. Praise God. You know, he got some, when this story got out, people got stirred up about that fire. And people started trying to figure out how to move that fire. They didn't want it to go out either. I went to Bible college with a young man, and my, he was a talented young man, and he had some difficulties, and he kind of got off into some strange doctrines. He pastors, I understand, a very, 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 very large church. But it's not a Pentecostal church. It doesn't believe this doctrine anymore. But he has a father that's still in the United Pentecostal Church. And his sister said he's always asking about the United Pentecostal Church. You know why? Because he knows there's still a fire here. And you know what concerns him most? Our standard of holiness. He lost that. But he's still concerned about it. He still thinks about it. And he doesn't want us to lose it. He want, in other words, what is in his mind is, I want a place I can go back to. I want to know that there's a place that still has the fire. I want to know that there's a place that's still like it was when I was a lad. Folks, we got something precious here. And we got to keep it going. Hear me. I'm serious. We got to keep this going. We can't let this thing die. We can't let anything get in the way of this. People come. When a friend of ours preached early this year, and he came and he preached for us, and when he got through, he said, you didn't tell me it was that kind of church. I said, what do you mean? He said, I didn't know it was one of them shouting churches. Amen. He said, you just don't find many like that anymore. Amen. When Brother Cork preached here a few months ago, he's called me several times. He wants to come back. He said, I don't find many churches like that anymore. He said, I want to come back. I want to preach there again. There's something about the fire that people want to be a part of. Amen. We got to keep the fire burning, folks. We can't let it die. Don't quit worshiping. I'm not talking about patty caking. I'm talking about worshiping. Like the little sister, she was dancing and shouting and dancing, quietly dancing, just dancing away, just dancing. When a little old lady in the church when I grew up in, and she'd get over between the pews, she didn't make any noise, but she'd just dance. And she got in her 70s, she's still dancing. She got to her 80s, she's still dancing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That old lady was dancing, and the pastor finally is ready to go on with the service. They said, sister, he said, you need to sit down. And she just kept dancing. And he said, sister, you need to sit down. And she just kept dancing. And the pastor said, that's what I call dancing in the Holy Ghost. He said, a couple of you sisters, get her and take her on out to the prayer room, and y'all just keep on shouting. He said, we're going to go ahead and have church in here. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we need to get the fire going and not let it ever burn it. Don't let it diminish. Don't let it get cold. Don't let it get cold. Don't let it get cold. Amen. Don't let it get cold. We got to have that fire burning, folks. Amen. How do you keep carnality out of the church? You keep the fire burning. You keep the fire burning. How do you keep worldliness out of the church? You keep the fire burning. How do you keep holiness in the church? You keep the fire burning. How do you keep true doctrine in and false doctrine out? You keep the fire burning. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hey, folks, let's just keep the fire burning. We got to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no greater compliment. There's no greater compliment for a church than for backsliders to come back and say it still feels the same as it did when I left. It's the greatest compliment you can have. Some things may change, but don't let the fire go out. Keep the fire going. Keep the fire burning. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Somebody want to stir up some coals here tonight? There was a man that had been missing church. He missed for a while. Pastor got concerned. Went to see him. The man was sitting in his house in front of his fireplace. The pastor took some tongs and he went over and he got one of those logs that was red with heat and fire. He pulled it out of the fire, set it out of the fire down on the hearth. And he stood there and they visited in a little while. And they watched as that log lost its color. It went from red and orange and it began to turn lighter and gray, and then it began to black and darken. And they watched as it began to die. And without saying a word, the man looked at his pastor and he said, I know, I know. He said, I'll be there Sunday. Hear me, folks. Hear me. You get out of the fire very long and you'll start losing it. You'll start losing it. One of the first things that happen to people that leave the church is they start missing church.
That's right.
They start staying home. They start missing prayer meetings. Amen. Because if the devil can get you out of the fire, your ember will die and you will get cold. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord a little bit here tonight. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord a little bit here tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you. You're so mighty, mighty good to us. We got a fire going. We thank you for it.
Jesus, take me back.
We didn't start this fire. This is a fire from the Lord. This is not human. This is divine. This is not temporal. It's eternal. It's not man-made. It's God sent. But Lord, we need you tonight.
Take me back, dear Lord.
We live in a world of pressure. But let's not let the fire go out. Let's not let the fire go out. Lord, fan the flames, the embers of our soul here tonight.
Take me back, dear Lord,
till those embers that have begun to go a little cooler on the outside.
Me back.
Once again, we hear the crackling.
Take me back.
Then suddenly we see the burst of flame. We become red hot, white hot. Amen. We become, oh God, the flame and the
Jesus
fire.
Jesus, take me back.
That will light our world.
Take
and warm the souls
back,
of our families, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our schoolmates. Amen. That we will shine like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. That those that are cold and shivering in their shame and their sin, God, that they'll be warmed by our presence and by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Lord, tonight help me. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to just be professional.